worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Again, Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. Verses 18 through 25, Matthew chapter 1, then picking up at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Again, that was Matthew chapters 1, verses 18 through 25, and then Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Lord, once again, we thank you for the gift, the wonderful and the powerful and the grace-filled gift of your word, and thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed as we simply spend time reading and meditating and thinking on your word. Lord, flood our lives with your grace, your peace, your mercy, and your spirit today, and Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how important it is for us to make time to get into your word. Help us to know, Lord, that it is through your word that you pour more grace and strength and encouragement and insight into our minds, our hearts, and our lives, all of which that we really do need day by day. And Lord, help us to be faithful not only during the Christmas season to really read and meditate on the Christmas narratives, the specific Christmas stories that teach us about the real meaning of Christmas, that is specifically Christ, but help us to grow in our love and our commitment to read and meditate on your word all year long. Teach us and empower us to be the students of your word who are continually planted by the rivers of water, rooted in your word, drawing on the strength, the grace, the encouragement, and the wisdom and empowerment that comes from being your word each and every day. And Lord, during this Christmas season, anoint us afresh. In fact, set us on fire afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship, that we would be making the most of the opportunity during this Christmas season to point people to Jesus Christ, to help them to recognize that the greatest need in life is to come to know the Lord and to learn to walk with him. And Lord, help us to be readily available vessels through which you can accomplish your perfect will day by day throughout the Christmas season and beyond. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you listening in. I want to invite you to Go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. And also, we'd like to invite you to our webs, to our Facebook page, also, Hour of Intercession. And we appreciate you going on there and liking that as well. And thank you for taking the time to pray for the ministry of Urban Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And thank you for praying for the Hour of Intercession. You know, again, one of the goals of this particular ministry is to encourage believers to make prayer and intercession a bigger part of their life and their lifestyle. And, you know, on the one hand, that may seem to some almost generic, but in reality, this is vitally important to everyone. Because the fact is, when we come to, as believers, to understand that prayer is one of the greatest gifts God has entrusted to us, it's our opportunity to talk with and to communicate and to commune with our Heavenly Father on an ongoing basis, seeking His wisdom, His guidance, His direction, seeking His empowerment that comes through spending time with Him one-on-one in prayer. But there's so many good things that happen in us and through us as we as believers walk with God in prayer each and every day. So we certainly hope that you're growing in your understanding of how to really make prayer a high priority. And keep in mind, a clear goal for the broadcast is also this, that you're making more time to really pray, to pray about the big things, the little things, and all the in-between things in your life. Because remember, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And the fact is, God can do all the good things we can do, God can do them a whole lot better than we can. So one of the wisest lifestyles for us to live is a life full of prayer, where we're prayerful about absolutely everything we do, again, seeking God's guidance, His grace, His strength, His help in our lives, in every area of our lives. I want to remind you once again, we're looking and encouraging you to take time during the Christmas season, during the Advent season, and of course, Advent includes the four Sundays coming up prior to Christmas. And during this season, we may often refer to it as the Christmas season, it's a great time to really spend lots of time reading and meditating on the traditional Christmas story. Again, it's found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And keep in mind, I'm encouraging every single listener to take time to read all the way through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and all the way through Luke chapters 1 and 2 as well. And when you finish reading them, go back and read them through again. And when you finish doing it a second time, go back and read them through a third time, several times during the Christmas season. In fact, reading all the way through them in one day is actually a wise thing to do. Now you may say, well, what's the big deal? Why is that important? Well, because again, we tend to think, well, I know the Christmas story and I know what happened on the first Christmas. And many people may think, well, most people do. Well, the reality is none of us really know and fully comprehend the beauty and the power of the story of the coming of Christ on that first Christmas so long ago. And even though you may think to yourself, you know the Christmas story, no, you don't, and I don't either. That's why we need to keep reading and meditating on the Word of God to grow in our understanding of how powerful the story really is and how to make it a practical part of our lives. It's not about us just feeling the quote-unquote Christmas spirit during the Christmas season. It's about us being set on fire afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship so that we can help the world know why Jesus was the greatest gift the world has ever known. Jesus, again, was the greatest gift, the greatest Christmas gift the world has ever received. He always has been, always will be, because, again, without Jesus, none of us can be saved. Without Jesus, none of us would go to heaven. Without Jesus, none of us would end up anywhere except in hell for all eternity. So again, Jesus was and is the greatest gift the world has ever known, and we as believers should be aggressively wanting to share that message with the world. We shouldn't be laid back about sharing our faith. We shouldn't be laid back and, oh, maybe in a day or two I might take some time to talk to somebody about Jesus. We should be praying daily that God would use us passionately to share Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And the sad reality is so many believers are just too laid back about this. Again, why was Jesus such a great gift? Because again, remember, without Jesus, no human being walking the earth today would go to heaven. Not a single one. All of us would be destined for an eternity in hell. What a tragic thought that would be. But the fact is, because Jesus came, everyone that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they can spend all eternity forever and ever and ever with God. How long is eternity? Eternity is 1,000 years with both ends knocked out. And it keeps going on and on and on and on, and we'll be able to spend all eternity with God because Jesus came. So as believers, we can't afford to be laid back and lackadaisical about talking to the world about Jesus, the greatest gift the world has ever known. And so let's get serious. Let's be serious about wanting to be bright witnesses for Christ every day during the Christmas season and far beyond as well. But remember, as we've mentioned before, it's during the Christmas season that many people will hear about Jesus more than they will at any other time of the year, and many people will be much more open to hearing the gospel and talking about the things of God during the Christmas season. So make the most of these opportunities. Pray daily that the Lord would use you to minister to your family members, your husband, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your friends, your coworkers, because again, it's important that we make the most of these opportunities. So as we're looking today, specifically, we're focusing once again on Matthew chapters 1 and 2, but in particular, chapter 2, as we look at the lives of the wise men, and we're focusing specifically on the topic today of walking in the wisdom of the wise men. And when I say that, walking in the wisdom of the wise men, there's some biblical truths that we can learn from the wise men that will be very, very helpful to us, not just at Christmas time, but helpful for us as lifestyle choices and directions. There's some things I want to focus on that the wise men did, and they function as great role models for all believers in every place through some of the things they did, as we find in Matthew chapter 2. And so today, as we look at the topic of walking in the wisdom of the wise men, I want to encourage you to take notes, because these are things that if we'll make them priorities, they will bless us and we will become more fruitful vessels in the hands of the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. Again, so remember this, Christ is the only person who was able to, he was the only human being as well as the only Son of God, the only one that could come into this world, live and die and pay for our sins and rise from the dead and make a way for us to be saved. And so again, as I said, he's the greatest gift the world has ever received, the greatest Christmas gift the world has ever received. But also, Jesus is a whole lot more than that. He's a whole lot more than that. And so as we look at this topic, walking in the wisdom of the wise men, get on your learning caps and your listening caps as well. Lord, thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of Jesus. Thank you for the fact that Christmas is Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus and the gift that he was, the gift that he is to the whole world. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that Christ brought when he came into this world. And thank you, Lord, for the excitement that those who understood who Jesus was and what he came. Thank you for the excitement that they demonstrated, because they too are great role models to help us realize what a huge gift Jesus was and he is to the world. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how much we need to express our gratitude and thanks to you for the fact that in your love and your grace and your mercy, you sent Jesus Christ as the greatest gift the world has ever received. But help us to grow in our understanding of not only should we be grateful to you for that gift, we as believers should in turn seek to be passionate vessels through which you can share with the world the wonderful message of Christmas, the fact that Jesus did provide a way for salvation, the fact that he came. And of course, I thank you, Lord, for the fact that the Christmas story really is found from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the last chapter in the book of Revelation. The whole Bible is the Christmas story. But as we look at the traditional Christmas story, thank you for the truths and the insights we can grow in. Help us as husbands, as wives, as dads and moms, as children, to grow and make, just to seek to be all you want us to be as vessels you can use during this season of the year. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. This verse depicts the boy Samuel discharging his ministerial duties in the temple. Eli was there, standing as a tangible audience. Nevertheless, the scripture identifies that the object and focus of Samuel's ministry was the Lord. As we go about our day, let's remember, though we may have tangible eyes and ears around us, though we may have bosses, employees, coworkers, or clients, the presence of company must never take our eyes off of the true object of our work. Though others may be present, we minister through our work to the Lord.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
I get it. Being a young single woman in your mid to late 20s can have its struggles. Every time you get on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, someone from your high school or college years has a boyfriend, engaged, married, or married with kids. You find yourself always being the bridesmaid and never the bride. Be of good cheer. Don't covet the idea of marriage to the point you're willing to settle for anyone. Remember, everyone has a calling, and your calling is your ministry, and who you marry can make or break it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul tells us that if you are unmarried, care for the things concerning the Lord and how you may please Him. God's timing is perfect timing, and if it's in His will for you to marry, it will happen in His time. Till then, there's plenty of kingdom work that needs to get done. With the heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Oh, come.
The music of Forever Jones, the song, Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. You're on Urban Family Talk again. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of walking in the wisdom of the wise man. And of course, as I've mentioned a number of times already, if you haven't taken time, start during the Christmas season to read all the way through the Christmas narratives. The Christmas story is found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And as you take time to do that, again, you will grow in your understanding of the message and the meaning of Christmas. And also, you're going to learn some things that you didn't know. Why? Because the quote-unquote traditional Christmas story as found in the Word of God is actually much broader than most people think. Again, many people will read the same passage, Luke chapter 2, the first part of Luke chapter 2, which is a wonderful part of the story. The same passage Linus read for us on Charlie Brown. But there's a whole lot more to the Christmas story, the traditional Christmas story. And again, you can find it basically in those chapters, Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. So take time to read them through. And again, for those of you that are parents, that you have young children, let your children read them through with you, because again, they too will learn the meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. And of course, Christmas is Jesus. It's about Jesus. And Jesus is the essence of all that Christmas is. And so all the other things that people associate with Christmas many times really, to be quite honest, could be left out completely, even though lots of folks aren't going to do that. But remember, Christmas is Jesus, plain and simple. So again, we're looking at the topic of walking in the wisdom of the wise men. Here's some truths and insights that we can learn from the lives of the wise men. Now, keep in mind, we refer to the wise men as the individuals, the magi that came from Persia. But keep in mind in the Christmas story, I would also include Joseph, the husband of Mary, as a wise man because he was wise enough to diligently obey and follow God. But of course, keep in mind the greatest wise man was Jesus himself. And of course, no one surpasses Jesus, who is God, in wisdom, obviously. And, you know, interesting things to think about as it relates to Christ is there's so much mystery around the story of Christmas because remember, Jesus is the Son of God and he's God as well. And remember this, God allowed himself to become a baby that cried, a baby that needed his diapers changed, a baby that needed someone to feed him when he was hungry. God became a baby. Why would God do that? Well, when you get to heaven, you ask God that question. There's lots of mystery surrounding the story, but God became a baby, a little baby, and he came as a king. And he came as the greatest king the world has ever known. But notice, remember this, the greatest king in the world became a baby. And when he came, he didn't come and live in Buckingham Palace. He didn't come to live in Taj Mahal. He didn't come to live in the White House. He was born in a barn, in a stable, in a dirty stable. And again, those are accommodations that few people would ever have because at least lots of other people, if they weren't born in a hospital, at least they would be born in a house. Jesus was born in a barn, a stable. Why would the greatest king the world has ever known be born in a stable? Well, God in his sovereignty allowed that to happen because that's a part of the message. The God of the universe was born in the most difficult and inconvenient of circumstances. And remember this, Joseph and Mary, they were two individuals, and people often like to say that they were poor. Well, I think according to the Word of God, Joseph was a skilled laborer, and he knew how to take care of his family. But as it turns out, he was on the road, he was traveling. And so his wife, the time for the baby to be born, came at a quote-unquote inconvenient time. And so normally they would have been at least at home in a comfortable place, but on the road and didn't have anyone. They didn't have a welcome committee welcoming the greatest king in the world into Bethlehem. They didn't even have a hotel for him. All they found was a barn. All they found was a barn. Yet God in his wisdom had Jesus to come that way. And note this too, you know, Jesus is the only, he's God and he's also a human being as well. He's the only person in all the Bible that got to pick his biological mother. Jesus picked, and he picked a lady by the name of Mary to be his biological mom. I don't find anywhere else in Scripture where anybody else had the opportunity to do it, but Jesus did. And he picked the right lady to be his mom. Well, as we look specifically at the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, what are some things we can learn from them and draw from their lives that are wise things for us to pick up and live by? Well, number one, they came a long way to worship. They came a long way. They made it a high priority to come and seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. And notice they came and they asked, where is he who's been born King of the Jews? Now remember, they're not Jewish. They're Persian. But they come looking for the King of the Jews. Why are they looking for the King of the Jews? Because they realize that, yes, he's the King of the Jews, but he's a whole lot more than that. They recognize that he's not only the King of the Jews, but he's the King of the universe. And remember this, they're not daunted by what they see. Because remember, they're so focused on listening to God and following God that what appears to be the case, they're not daunted by that because they've heard God and God let them know the King of the universe will be born in Bethlehem. And they come there looking for him. And when they get there, they may think, well, where's the local palace? Or where are the royal babies born? Where's the local castle? No, they come and follow the star. And he comes and they find him in a barn. According to the word of God, actually they find him in a house, a very humble setting. At that time, he was born in the stable, but keep in mind, by the time they arrive, he's actually in a home, in a house in Bethlehem. But he's born in the most humble of circumstances, and he's actually a little bit older because it took them some time to travel once the star appeared. The star appeared when he was born, around the time when he was born, but the star was visible for apparently several months, and it guided them to where he was. Well, so they came a long way to worship the king. So number one, they made it a high priority to find the Christ and to worship him. And you know, they took a journey that probably took them months, took them lots of time, energy, and money. It came a long way to worship. And you know, some people don't want to drive down the street to go to church. Well, the fact is, why was worship so important? Because worship is very, very important in the life of a believer. Sadly, many believers don't nearly value how important it is for us to worship God, to give him thanks, praise, glory, and honor. Not only with our lips, but with our lives as well. And one of the ways we worship God is not only thanking and praising him with the words we speak in honor of him, but also our giving of ourselves to him as well. Remember, the wise men came to worship him not only with their words, but also they came with their lives as well. They spent their time, their money, their energy to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ. This was apparently an expensive trip in many ways. And so that's an important thing to consider. Let me take a couple of questions that we see in the cherubim there in the chat room. That is specifically, in one question says, did it really take the wise men 2 years to reach Jesus? And then a second question, let's see. Let's deal with that one. Now, you know, I don't know the exact time frame. It took a while. It wasn't like they just drove down the street. Okay, they rode, probably just took camels to come a long ways, and probably took quite a few months. So it could have been 2 years, I don't know. But the fact is, again, remember, the star appears to point them to Jesus. So probably the star first appeared the day Jesus was born. And they saw the star, and they also remember they were close enough to God that they knew what the star meant. Now remember, anyone looking up in the night sky could see the star, but lots of people didn't know what the star meant. They saw the star, might have thought, isn't that a pretty star up in the sky? Wow, isn't that impressive? But the wise men were walking close to God, and therefore they knew what it meant. And remember this, when you walk closely with God, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're to be a faithful student of the Word of God. That's one of the ways whereby we stay in close fellowship with God. Be a student, a faithful student of the Word of God. But also, spend time talking with God in prayer each and every day. That's another way whereby we stay close to God. So please keep in mind, that's a very important key and matter to remember. So because you're listening to God and staying close fellowship with God, many times you understand the meaning of things that are going on in the world or things that you see or things you experience. Well, the fact is, the wise men saw the star and they knew that it was pointing to the King of the Jews and the King of the universe, and they followed it. You know, when they arrived in Israel, lots of the Israelites didn't know what the star meant. And so when they announced that they were looking for the King of the Jews, many of the Jews were surprised. Now, remember this. The Jews have been looking for the Messiah for hundreds of years. And the Messiah has arrived, and lots of them didn't even know it. But these Persian magi knew it. How did they know? They were walking in close fellowship with God. And they knew the star had indicated, the King has been born. Let's go find him. So God used the Persian Magi to point the Jews to the Messiah's coming, as well as the world as well. So again, some of the truths and things we can learn from the Magi is, number one, they came a long way to worship. And number two, they listened to God. You know, a big part of life is listening to God and following God. And number three, they obeyed God. Apparently, the Spirit of God told them, go find the Lord Jesus Christ. And they packed up and obeyed. They could have said, well, God, you know, I'm kind of busy and I've got to work and I got to do this and that. I don't have time to be traveling looking for the Messiah. You know, I'm a busy person. But when the Lord told them to get up and go find the Messiah, they got up and packed up their gear and they went and found the Messiah. They obeyed and followed God. And because of their obedience, their lives are still pointing people to Jesus Christ today. They pointed the Jews of that day to the Messiah, and they've pointed all Jews since that time to the Messiah, and they point the whole world. And whenever people read that story, they're pointing, their witness is pointing people to Jesus Christ. And every Christmas, the Magi are still pointing people to Jesus Christ. We're supposed to do the same thing. We're to live a lifestyle where we're continually pointing people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because all the problems in the world are a result of sin, and Jesus is the answer to all these problems. Jesus is the answer to every struggle, every difficulty, every trial in life. He's the answer to all the issues of life. So the world needs to know Jesus is what life is all about, knowing Jesus and following Jesus. Yet lots of people live like Jesus doesn't matter. So if we want to be like the wise men, we're to live a lifestyle that points people to Jesus Christ. So the wise men were wise enough to, they came a long way to worship the Lord. They came a long way to point people to Jesus Christ. Number two, they listened to God. Number three, they obeyed God. And number four, remember, they spent their time, energy, and money to come and find the Christ child as well. And also, because they were in close fellowship with God, they had insight from the Holy Spirit that others didn't have. They knew what the star meant. And even when they had the dream, they knew what God wanted them to do. Don't go back to Herod. So all of these are benefits and blessings from staying in close fellowship with God. And also keep in mind, we've talked before about the fact that they listened to God in a number of different ways. But part of the issue was they listened to God in the selection of gifts as well. They brought him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, the fact is, again, God told them what to bring. And remember, these aren't cheap gifts. These are expensive gifts. But they were gifts that brought honor to the Lord, but also they were prophetic gifts because they not only did the wise men point people to Jesus, but through the selection of gifts, the gifts told the story of who Jesus was. The gift of gold is the gift you'd give to a king. The gift of frankincense, the gift you give to a high priest. And the gift of myrrh is the gift you give to someone who is going to die. And each gift told them an important part of the mission of Jesus Christ. How do they know what gifts to bring? The Holy Spirit told them. That's very, very important. Listen to God about what you do. Even the giving of gifts is so important because the Holy Spirit knows what we should give. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Thank you for helping send thousands of children on the greatest journey. Here's Franklin Graham.
So we give God the glory, we praise Him, and we thank you for your support, for your prayers, making this happen.
For each $6, another child is trained for discipleship. You can still give at 877-616-2396 or at AFR.net. Thanks to you, children are going on the greatest journey.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the track stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go.
The Awakening.
shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy, with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
When Jesus offered rest to the weary, Dr. Tony Evans says it was far more than an invitation to take a power nap. He'll unpack the meaning of Matthew 11:28 for us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Now, weary is different than sleepy. Sleepy, you get a bed, you fall off to sleep and into another realm of consciousness. That's not the same as weary and heavy laden. That's when the burdens of life are controlling you so that you can't sleep. Or if you do sleep, you enter into a nightmare on Elm Street. It is a burden. When you are sick, you call a doctor. But that's usually after your over-the-counter efforts haven't worked. When Walgreens has let you down, when CVS hasn't come through for you, and when Walmart has disappointed you, because you're still feeling bad with the weight of physical illness. You go to the doctor, and the reason you go to him is he has a knowledge base that you don't have. He's got an investigative process to analyze the cause and the cure that you don't possess. He knows a little something, something you're not acquainted with. But usually we only go to him when our own efforts have failed to fix it. Jesus says, when life has done a number on you, and all the folks you know can't help you, all the money you have, spending it won't resolve it, all of the contacts you have can't turn it around, that's your invitation to come to me. That is, I will relieve you of or remove you of the weight that is holding you down.
Learn how to turn your last resort into your first priority. Get details on Dr. Evans' message series, Comforting the Afflicted, by visiting us at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Forever Jones, the song Joy to the World. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we're looking today at the topic of walking in the wisdom of the wise man. And again, if you haven't taken time to read through all the Christmas narratives, the Christmas stories as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 this Christmas season, be sure and do it. And remember, the goal is that you read through them several times and meditate on them, but also that you encourage lots of other folks to do the very same thing. Because for many people, if you don't encourage them, a lot of these people aren't going to do that. Because, you know, it's not hard to find people that have never read through all the Christmas narratives. Again, Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2 during the Christmas season. And they're missing out on their understanding of the full picture, the basic picture of the traditional Christmas story and the meaning behind it. So if you'll do it and encourage others to do it, you'll bless yourself and you'll be a blessing to many other people as well. Again, we were talking before the break about the fact that the wise men were men who stayed in close fellowship with God and listened to God. And for that reason, they knew what gifts to give the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought expensive gifts, but gifts fit for a king, and gifts that were also prophetic in nature, gifts that told the story of who Jesus was. Again, gold, the gift you'd give to a king. Frankincense, the gift you give to a high priest. And myrrh, the gift you give to someone that is going to die. Jesus came as the great King of Kings and the greatest king the world has ever known. But also he came as our great high priest who could do something that no other man could do. He came and did and brought the salvation that no one else could bring as our high priest. And then finally, he was the sacrificial lamb who could die and pay for the sins of the world. No one else could do it. Only Jesus could do that. And so the gifts were prophetic, and also they were powerful in that they told the story about a wonderful picture of who Jesus was and who Jesus is to us and for us. And this Christmas season, I want to encourage every listener, be prayerful about all the gifts you give. You know, because again, it's not just a matter of giving somebody something to say, well, I gave him something. Don't say I didn't give you anything. Ask God to give you wisdom to bless people with gifts that will bless them, and also pray for God to anoint the gifts too. Did you know that you can take any object and ask God just to anoint it, and the Holy Spirit can use it just because you pray and ask God to anoint it? You know, for example, even if you gave somebody a rock, you know, if you ask God to bless that rock can bless them. When they see the rock, they may think, you know, that rock makes me think about Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit can do that. So remember, be prayerful about whatever gift you give, because God can use that gift to bless people far beyond just the act of giving them something. So be prayerful about the gifts you select, but also ask the Lord, Lord, show me what to give my brother, my sister, my spouse, my cousin, my nephew, my niece. Show me what to give them that will bless them and point them to you. And also put gospel tracts inside the presents as well. You know, if they're already saved, it can encourage them, or they may in turn give it to somebody else and help somebody else get saved. But putting gospel tracts in the gifts is a very wise and a very productive thing to do. But also keep in mind as well, as we do these things, we're being like the wise men. We're pointing people to Jesus Christ. And remember, that's a part of your purpose in life. That's a huge part of your purpose in life. We're not here just to make money or to accomplish our quote-unquote dreams or to buy houses and cars and stuff. We're here for God, and we're here to point people to God. We're here to help people know that God is what life is about, and living for God and carrying out God's purposes. Don't worry about living your dreams. Live God's dreams, because if you live God's dreams, you will live your dreams as well. You'll be living the right dreams. So the key is, run after fulfilling the dreams God has laid before you in your life to carry out. Again, God's dreams is what we're to be pursuing, living out his dreams through our lives as he's calling us to do just that. So be prayerful about the gifts you give. And remember this, again, we can learn wonderfully from the wise men, because remember, they came a long way to find the king. And then when they got there, they didn't come asking the king for favors. They came to bring something. They came to bless him and to do his will. You know, many times people would think when they come to see the leader, they come in to say, hey, king, how are you? Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need some help. But in reality, they came to bless the king, to honor the king. But remember, you'll always get blessed when you give to the king. He's not going to be your debtor. When you give a gift to the king, he's always going to bless you back. Because again, the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But with the same measure that you've met with all, it shall be measured to us again. We're called to be givers. And remember this, some of the greatest joys you'll experience in life will come not so much from the gifts you receive, but the things you give away. joy comes from giving. And as we live a lifestyle of giving and blessing others, it will cause your joy quotient to increase. Many people feel and experience joy around Christmas time because that's the main time they do much giving. And they wonder why they're so joyless after Christmas is over, but they don't put together the fact that they stopped giving after Christmas and don't realize the two are connected. If you have a lifestyle of giving to others and blessing others, again, it causes joy to flow in greater measure into your life. There's great joy in being a giver and living a lifestyle. And remember, when you habitually give and bless other people, it makes them think about God. Why do they think about God? Well, actually, we're imitating God. We're acting like God when we live a lifestyle of blessing and giving to others. We're called to be givers. So like the wise men, regularly give generously to the king. Because remember, he's always going to multiply back. That's one of the reasons why I like to encourage believers to be faithful to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians, they don't give a tithe to God. A tithe is 1/10 of your gross income. Now, you might think, well, Pastor Parker, why are you talking about tithing? I was having a good time, and you're bringing up giving. Well, understand this. You need to understand this. One of the ways whereby God wants to bless you is through your giving. Now, understand this. Do you know God is so rich, he does not need your money. He doesn't need your income. You know, it's not going to put a dent in his bank account if you don't give to God. But you know what? He's looking for an opportunity to bless you. And if you'll be faithful to give tithes and offerings to the Lord, all God is going to do is turn around and bless you back with it. And he's not just going to give it back. He's going to multiply it back. Why? Because he wants us to learn that the blessing is in giving. The greater blessing is not in being the receiver. The greater blessing is being in the giver. So if you give tithes and offerings to God, all God does is he turns around and multiplies those back to you. And that's part of why it's so tragic when a believer refuses to tithe, when a believer says, I can't afford to tithe. Well, that's the problem. The reason you can't afford to tithe, one of the reasons is because you are robbing God and you're cursing your finances. On the other hand, if you become a tither, again, God will begin to bless your finances in a way that they were never blessed before. Our money is a very personal topic. You know, if you walk up to someone and say, how much money do you make? Many people would be offended. Why? Because their money, their income is a personal topic to them. It's been said the single most sensitive nerve in the human body is the nerve that runs from the heart to the pocketbook. Again, money is personal, but we're to honor God with our money. Because remember, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't make a dime. You wouldn't earn a dime. You wouldn't have a job. So thank God and honor him and worship him through your giving. Be one who gives tithes and offerings and give generously beyond that as well. Remember, it's very common when you give people a gift, whether they're strangers or people you know, a very common reaction is they'll say, God bless you. Why will they say that? Because when you give something to them and bless them with something, it makes them think about God and the goodness of God and the blessing of God. So if you live the lifestyle of a giver, that's an important lesson we can learn from the wise men. They came to be givers. And if you live the lifestyle of a giver, you will point people to God through your lifestyle of giving. Be a giver. Be one who wants to give and bless others all over the place. So as we draw our time to close, I want you to keep in mind God wants to teach you a number of very important lessons through the wise men. So be sure and take time to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Several times, and keep listening to what the Holy Spirit tells you, because basically everything the wise men did, it's wise for you and I to emulate. Again, they came a long way to worship, and they listened to God. They spent time listening to God. They spent time communing with God. And so they were willing to spend their time, their energy, and their money to come a long way to find the Christ child. And you know, if you run into people that say, well, I just can't. I don't see Jesus in the world. I don't understand Jesus. Well, did you know that you can find Jesus any day of the week in the Word of God? So if you know somebody looking for Jesus, tell them to read their Bible. They'll find him there every single day. And, you know, lots of people have gotten saved by simply reading the Word of God, reading the Gospel of John or reading through the Gospels. Many people throughout history, the history of the church, have gotten saved simply by reading the Word of God. So point people to the Word of God. Encourage them to start reading the Word of God. There have been a number of atheists who thought to themselves, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm going to prove to the world there is no Jesus. And they started reading the Bible in order to disprove Jesus, and they accidentally got saved. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God. And so the fact is, when we encourage folks to start reading God's Word and following it, it will help them to begin to draw on the wisdom that comes from God's Word. Make it your goal to be a wise man or woman of God. Make it your goal to live a lifestyle that's continually pointing people to Jesus Christ. That's not something we do just casually and laid back. We should be passionately, every day, pointing people to Jesus unapologetically. Why? Because life is Jesus. Christmas is Jesus. Life is about knowing Jesus and walking with him every single day. Lord, thank you for the wisdom we can draw from looking at the lives of the wise men. Thank you for the many ways that they're good role models for us to learn from. Thank you for the fact that they were willing to spend their time, their money, their energy to travel a long way to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that they listened to you and because they were in close fellowship with you, they knew what the star meant. They knew that the star was pointing them to the Messiah, and they were able to even help the Jewish people to discover that their king had been born. And they continue to point Jewish individuals and people of all other races to the fact that the Christ has come and that through him we can be saved and we can come to know what real life is about, knowing Jesus and walking with him. And Lord, thank you for the fact that they listened to you and knew what kind of gifts to give to bless the Christ child and to bless the world. And Lord, help us too to be a people that are listening to your voice all the time, to have wisdom and insight about the things we do, the directions we take in life, the selection of gifts, and many other things that we do. As we listen to you and do what you tell us by your Spirit, we will never make a mistake. We'll never go in the wrong direction. There's power in listening to you and listening to your Spirit and listening to your Word. There's power in obeying your Word and following the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of giving. Help us to know, Lord, that you'll do great things in and through the life of anyone who makes it a habit to just bless people with gifts you entrust to us. Gifts, some of which would be material, but many gifts are gifts of simply taking the time to pray for others or to give words of wisdom and encouragement to others, to bless others, to give them our time and energy and concern. Thank you for the chance to be a giver like you and like the wise man. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of Jesus and Christmas. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've looked at the topic of walking in the wisdom of the wise men. We appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family.